us the second part of the show is Bill Wilson. He's the founder and CEO of Sustain3, a sustainability consulting firm. Well, I'll take a guess there, and we'll start with that. Bill, give us a little thumbnail sketch of what Sustain3 is about.
Well, sure, and thanks for having me on the show. So Sustain3 was developed for organizations who are trying to integrate sustainability into their core business strategies and understand that it's important to have an engaged workforce to really make that happen. So we developed an online training and engagement portal for these organizations so they can consistently engage their employees on what's important to them from a sustainability standpoint and how that aligns with their business priorities.
All right, so let's talk about examples of sustainability. What does that include?
So anything from energy conservation, water conservation, transportation, waste, supply chain, responsible sourcing.
That's a good one. I always like that, responsible sourcing, because that can be – it's really a lot about what comes in your front door or your back door as far as your raw material for a business.
Right. And our, you know, our approach is really to highlight the business case for sustainability. We really start with the economics.
Mm-hmm.
Environmental piece is obviously very important and a big part of this, but business owners and leaders really are driven by, you know, profits and bottom line. So we do show that operating sustainably, you know, integrating sustainability into core business strategies will reap the benefits of lower operating costs.
Mm-hmm.
With the millennial workforce, they really are looking for organizations to work for that share their values. So retention and recruitment of top talent is also another benefit. And then brand people, you know, customers are expecting that the businesses that they want to spend money at also share their values and are doing the right thing.
Right. That all things equal, customers will gravitate towards a business that has an environmentally minded philosophy.
Right. Take Patagonia, for instance. I mean, I think a lot of people, of course, they have very nice gear.
Sure.
But it's very well known that they're doing a lot of good things for the planet. And that means a lot to consumers. And I think that's happening more and more. And even in the investment community, you know, the investment portfolio are looking and they're looking at scorecards of organizations and are they really doing their part? And so it's, you know, it's slow to take hold, but it's happening.
So I have to ask, what motivated you to get into this line of work? Did you come from that business background where you were doing this yourself? Do you see a need in the community?
That's a good question. There was an evolution. I got involved in solar, and then that morphed into residential home energy efficiency work. And that's when it dawned on me that, you know, we can do a lot more. We can reach a lot more people if we go down the path of online software and training, or we can affect more people. So it was an evolution. I always equate it to health and wellness and safety. You know, back in the day, safety was a big deal. Mm. And all the organizations began implementing safety programs. Then the next big employee engagement piece was health and wellness. Now there's this big movement for corporate social responsibility, corporate citizenship, and I saw the need that organizations were really struggling to consistently engage their workforce. They would form green teams and do their best, but that was off the side of someone's desk. It wasn't their full-time job. Mm-hmm. So our program is built for busy people. It's a way to just kind of, you know, culture change and behavior change is a journey. It's not an overnight sensation. You
right.
don't cram everyone into a conference room, feed them pizza, and expect them to walk out changed. So our program is very –
although it's a good start.
It is a good start.
Good
that was really good pizza. What did we talk about?
Can we do that again? No, I hear – I've done some of that when I was in Florida, and we would approach a potential client, let's say a small town or business, and they one of their responses would be like, oh, we already do this. We have a green team in-house. And from that, as a result, you know, we print on both sides of the paper and we use soy-based printer and we have a hybrid parking spot out front and we're changing a few lights when we can. So we're all over this. And that was their takeaway, is that right. They actually have accomplished what they set out to do. But what they didn't recognize is there's about 23 other things that they can employ or look at too. And so that's what you bring, that body of knowledge. Into a business to say, no, this is a much larger palette that you can consider.
Yeah, and a lot like workplace safety, you know, it's both for at work and at home, and sustainability is the same way. The content that we publish is relevant both at work and at home. So it's affecting people's lives. Because we always think, you know, if you're safe at work, you're probably going to be safe at home as well. And same with sustainability. Mm-hmm. And health and wellness, I would say, is similar.
So give us some examples of businesses, organizations you've worked with and what you've done for them.
Sure. Well, it's been a wide variety. We've worked with the University of Utah, with the City of Salt Lake, some manufacturing firms, some architectural firms. But most recently here in Park City, and what I'd like to talk about today is a pilot we did with the Lululemon store. Mm. And the objectives of this pilot program was a six-week pilot, and it was Catherine Shanks and myself. Catherine is a sustainability consultant with a background of like 30 years in sustainability. Mm-hmm. So she brings the analytical side of it. I brought the training portal. But I had a friend named Haley Lebsack who worked at Lululemon. Now she's at Recycle Utah. And she and I talked about doing this pilot, and the objective was to illustrate how sustainability can drive real economic and environmental benefits for businesses, then also show how businesses can help local communities achieve their sustainability goals, which in this town are very aggressive. I hear the most aggressive in the United States. Being carbon neutral by 2022, mm-hmm. you know, with the city and then the countywide by 2032.
Right.
That's aggressive. And we think it's going to take local businesses to help meet those goals. And then lastly, the third objective was to inspire other businesses and municipalities to consider this approach that we did. And so the material topics that we addressed were sustainability 101, climate change and energy, climate change and transportation, waste, water, supply chain, and responsible sourcing. And it was a six-week pilot.
And that's all with Lululemon, sitting down with their staff or their managers and educating them on this.
Correct. There was about 18 people in that store. And we started off by doing a baseline assessment and a survey. The assessment was to look at what are they doing now, you know, what kind of lighting do they have, what kind of water conservation items are in place. And then we also did a survey to measure attitudes and beliefs around sustainability of the staff. What do they know about what Lululemon's doing? What do they know about what Summit County and Park City are doing?
Right.
And then after the pilot, we surveyed them again and showed the delta on the impacts that we had with their attitudes and beliefs and awareness. And I'll share that with you.
Hold on. Let me reintroduce you. We're speaking with Bill Wilson. He's the founder and CEO of Sustain 3. They're a sustainability consulting firm that provides sustainability strategies, online sustainability strategies, to businesses and nonprofit organizations, municipalities, whoever has an organization, they use energy or water or supply chain, you can help them out.
Absolutely.
So what were some of the other takeaways of the Lululemon group? I mean, you save them on electricity, natural gas, water.
So we published a scorecard at the conclusion of the pilot, and we measured greenhouse gas reductions. We also had a community service component where the staff was, in this case, they helped plant a bunch of trees off 224, as well as helped with a Recycle Utah event at the Recycle Center.
Right.
We measured reductions in single occupancy trips in cars. So in this case, we had 31 car trips or 520 miles of driving avoided by changing behaviors of getting out of their cars and using other forms of transportation to get to work, which, as you all know, is a big deal here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Reduction in waste to landfill. We had 100% of plastic recycled.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great, because Nell and I are going to talk a little bit about plastics.
We are.
litter. And trash and Earth Day. So I'm sorry, but that's great.
Yeah.
But this is a business that already probably, this is Lululemon. Yeah. They probably already have an environmental mindset.
Well, that's interesting.
And what's interesting is that you go in there and you add to it.
Yeah, they do. From a corporate standpoint, they have very solid sustainability initiatives. But what's interesting is the rank and file doesn't necessarily know that. Mm. When we really brought a lot of awareness to what Lululemon Corporate is doing, mm-hmm. you know, these guys are busy. They're there to sell Lululemon, not necessarily understand what their corporate initiatives are. But now they know, and it was eye opening. And we have a few quotes from them. We also, you know, we made it fun. It was gamified. One of the fun ones were how we saved waters. We had a 7-minute shower challenge. So. You may not know it, but in the United States, the average shower time is 8 minutes. So if you cut a minute out, you're saving. And in this case, we extrapolated out with these 18 people. If they did that regularly, we would have saved 12,000 gallons of water.
Right.
You know, and that's a small sample size, but you can imagine if you, mm-hmm. you know, if there was 1,000 people or 10,000 people.
And that's a small change in behavior, too.
That's just a small, 1 minute.
It's not going without. It's just going a little less.
Yeah, and being aware that, okay, I can do my part in more ways than, you know, one. And, it was fun. We had other local businesses supporting this pilot with incentives, like Boom Cycle and Rossignol. Mm. We actually had swag that, you know, as if you participated in the program, you had the opportunity to, you know, to cool. win that stuff.
Right. Although I'm a anti-swag guy.
Yeah.
I've come because the majority of the time this stuff seems to come from China. It's like little tchotchkes or little things that ultimately have a carbon footprint associated with themselves.
That's true.
So how about a no swag? How about just gratitude? You know, and just say thanks for doing that. I don't need a T-shirt all the time or a coffee mug.
Yeah. Well, this was more like time at Boom.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to say that an experience can be an experience.
There was a facial, there was a spa day.
Uh-huh. Great idea.
And then Rossignol gave skis and snowboards. So that was That was some collateral or that was some currency that really rung a bell with these folks.
Right.
The other thing I'd like to share is the results of how we increased engagement and awareness. And you know, so we were asking questions like, you know, is sustainability an important part of my personal values? Do I feel I understand my local community's sustainability initiatives and before and after? And the impacts of the pilot were always in the green or positive, that we were increasing their understanding and that they understood more and more about what concrete actions they can take on behalf of Lululemon and what they can do personally. But there was a question that we asked at the end of the pilot, and it was, this sustainability training improved my awareness of local community initiatives on sustainability. And 100% of the participants agreed or strongly agreed that happened. And that was a big goal of ours, was so they understood the link between what they're doing and what the community, well, what Park City and Summit County are trying to do.
Right.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
And it helps them, again, promote their brand. So now they're, I don't know, you know, if they get some type of recognition from Sustain 3 or so, but they can shout that out. And they say they're doing their part for the community-wide efforts.
Right, exactly. So, well, you know, we are talking about certification or recognition. It's in the early stages, but hopefully we'll have another conversation about that, you know, sometime in the next 6 months. But we think that that could be a really smart way to engage other businesses,
yeah,
and get the critical mass in play and get some excitement. Because again, these climate goals are aggressive, and we're running out of time. We need to start acting, and it's going to take a collective effort. And that's
that.
And I think this community is ripe to get on it.
Okay, we got to wrap up.
Yeah,
where do people go to contact you?
Sure, they can contact me at bwilson@sustain3.com or our website. My contact information is there at sustain3.com.
Sustain3.com.
Yeah, the number three.
The number three.
Sustain, number three.
Okay.
And that's the simplest way.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear from other local businesses who are interested in learning more.
All right. Bill Wilson, again, thanks so much for joining us. Mm-hmm. And I hope you get some feedback.
Great.
And we'll have you on again and to get an update in another year or so.
I like it.
That's perfect.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
All
thanks
right,
for
Bill.
Having me on.
Thank you
for joining us. Let's take a break for a couple of underwriters and sponsors. When we come back, we got some news items. We want to share what we did on Earth Day. Very interesting.
Right.
It's This Green Earth. We'll be right back.
Quarterly Summit Community Power Works reports during This Green Earth is brought to you in part by Rocky Mountain Power. Being energy efficient is good for you and the Wasatch Back. Being mindful of how you use energy makes our community better. More information on how to make a difference at wattsmart.com.
Hello, this is Reese DeMille with Republic Services, your local recycling and garbage pickup provider and a proud sponsor of KPCW's This Green Earth. Garbage and recycling containers should be placed at the curb before 7 a.m. on your scheduled collection day. Keep Summit County green. SummitCounty.org/recycle.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues, concepts of sustainability, like we just spoke about. And now we're going to talk back to environmental issues. Earth Day.
That's right. We celebrated over the weekend.
And you did quite a few things at Swanner.
We did. We had kind of a little Earth Day open house or fair in partnership with a handful of other nonprofits.
Right.
The Clay Ecosystem Building with the Kimball Arts Center was a hit. The blender bike that Eats brought was a hit. That's, you know, self-powered.
Right. Hop on a bike, yeah.
And run the blender with your own power.
Make cricket flour from that.
Yeah,
if you wanted.
We should try that. There you go. Next time. A little less exciting than smoothies. But
well,
you know,
here's what I found so interesting. I was there. I participated in the litter pickup.
Sponsored by Recycle Utah or run by.
Great job they did, Carolyn and Haley, and I helped out. And there was about 15 participants, most of them kids. Special shout out to a local
Girl
Scout
troop. You know,
there were
actually over 40 participants.
All right, well,
in
I wasn't
the trash
looking
pickup.
At
it. Yeah.
I was in my own world.
It was kind of phased. People rolled in throughout. Yep.
So I went off with Carolyn Wara. She's the executive director of Recycle Utah, and we kind of went off on our own. And what we did was most of the kids and participants went into Swanner mm-hmm. proper or around the edges.
Yeah.
Well, there's no shortage of stuff
around
up against
the
fence.
Along those trails.
The fence
is,
line. Okay.
Yeah.
No surprise. Well, Carolyn and I went up the street that leads into kind of like Main Street mm-hmm. of that area. Center Drive or so. And we just kind of walked up and down the grass sidewalk areas and policed that. And what we found was pretty astounding. First of all, we estimated what was like an hour and a half of all those participants. We estimated that roughly 60 pounds of trash was collected in just 90 minutes by 40 some people, most of them kids, Girl Scout troops among them, et cetera. Wonderful. Great work they did getting in there and getting their hands dirty and wet. They got very wet.
That's
they wore
right.
hip waders. They love wearing hip waders.
Yeah, there are a few locations where you have to really kind of get into a pond in order to get the trash that kind of blows in and flows in.
Yeah, and the majority of this trash, 55 pounds, 60 pounds, was plastic in nature. Some bottles, some cans, some objects or so. But most of it is plastics. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a lot of plastic.
Styrofoam.
And lots of styrofoam, too. And that's what Carolyn and I found in and around, say, the band shell and the plaza. But what's interesting is that it's not necessarily the candy wrapper we find. It's the tearaway part. So it's the part that's torn away. So people seem to have this attitude or idea that, well, I'm not going to throw the whole candy wrapper away, but I have no reservation in chucking the little edge that I tore off because why? Because that's so small. And I'm gonna make that.
Right.
I don't know what they're thinking. They need to stop thinking that because actually that's what could possibly be eaten.
Right.
By rabbits or squirrels particularly if it's got residue of food on it and it tastes good. So that's what next could be taken back as nesting material. You see bits of pieces of trash in nesting material, right? So anyway, that's what we found a lot of, and we found hundreds and hundreds of that. We actually found at one point a whole pizza box in a tree. I am not kidding you.
How does that happen?
How does that? It got put there on purpose. That's how it happens.
Yes.
That, in that case. But lots of trash up and down the sidewalks and grass area, all the way up. We walked up to Starbucks area and then back. No shortage of cigarette butts. You know, I wish smokers, would do their best to not treat the planet like it's some giant ashtray. Mm-hmm. And throw their cigarette butts.
I agree that so many of those tiny little things, maybe an inch or smaller, they collect so quickly in what we see as well around the edge of the preserve, whether it's mint wrappers or a corner of a candy bar wrapper or a cigarette butt. So
we talked about perhaps thinking that maybe people are being more mindful about not throwing large items, the bottles, the whole cans, the plastic glass bottles, plastic bottles. Maybe that's lessening and we're finally getting it in that sense. But now we still have to educate folks on the smaller items.
Yeah.
Like you say, those after dinner mints or something and the wrappers that are chucked,
yep.
Toothpicks and the little plastic that every toothpick comes in now. That's what we're finding.
Yeah, and I think, to give people the benefit of the doubt, I have to assume that often those are maybe shoved in a pocket where they fall out or set on a table where they're blown away or things like that. They're not
really?
Intentionally chucked out the window.
That's nice of you. I don't.
So it's just about giving it that maybe extra
bit of attention. So we found hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pieces of trash all around. And obviously it would be great, it would be interesting to go back this following Sunday, 1 week later, and patrol that same area I cleaned up, because we did a pretty good job getting everything, and see what's come back.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And do the delta of that.
Yeah.
What's the weekly accumulation of material and trash? And I will commit on air to trying to set up an ongoing program that helps, that I'll say on a monthly basis, we'll go there and we'll collect litter and trash. This is not a one-time.
Thank you.
You guys do that. I will work with you guys to do that because it means a lot. In fact, when I went home afterwards, it was all done. I went out and I policed the area around my neighborhood again in front of the Mark and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up, another 2 or 3 pounds. Again, mostly plastic-based material, wrappers and things like that. But it means something. We always think about, the plastic patch, garbage patch out in the Pacific, and marine life getting their guts and intestines stuck with plastic pounds. Well, that can happen here, too. Animals here can consume that, and that can get in their stomachs and their guts and stuff. And that prohibits their digestive system. It's harmful. Let's cut it out. All right?
And there's something you can do right here. So
right here.
Thank you
right
to
now.
The 40 people who came and picked up trash and volunteered in a variety of ways.
And special shout out to Girl Scout leader, my friend Jen, and her Girl Scouts, including her daughters Kate and Olivia, and their friend Aaron, and there were several others. They're fantastic.
Amazing.
Well done. All right. Let's take one last break. And then when we come back, we'll do a quick wrap-up and a reminder of the film, again, at Park City Film Series, Bugs, It's This Green Earth. We'll be right back.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, LRW-Law.com. Fred Marshall Painting, painting Park City's home since 1974, fredmarshallpainting.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Exactly. All right. Oh, we try our best. We don't want to name names of the actual businesses that we saw trash, Lynn Rent, but you know who you are, and cigarette butts. So,